So far, 20 million people have died of AIDS. 40 million are infected. Another 25 million may be infected by the end of the decade. At the World AIDS Conference in Barcelona today, experts say the numbers are so large, HIV is no longer just a medical problem. The world's largest corporations see the epidemic as a threat to global business. And in some regions of the world, AIDS is beginning to be seen as a security factor. NPR's Frank Browning reports.
At its birth, AIDS was not AIDS. It was a bizarre little disease spotted by doctors in New York and Los Angeles and labeled GRID, or gay-related immune deficiency. And it was a problem nobody wanted to talk about. Not the people who had it, not the media, not government officials who feared it would prove a political landmine. Now, 20 years into the epidemic, the Global AIDS Conference draws former heads of states and financing from major multinational corporations. But this year, in the globalized epidemic, there is something thoroughly new. Big, powerful countries with nuclear weapons are threatened with instability. India, China, Russia. Mark Schneider is vice president of the International Crisis Group in Washington.
If in Russia you have, from what we understand, limited success in maintaining full control over all nuclear materials, and you have a significant breakdown in the Russian military as individuals who are affected with HIV/AIDS become very angry at not being able to get treatment and look for ways to acquire funds to pay for their own treatment, you begin to increase the risk of nuclear materials being sold.
It hasn't happened yet, so far as anyone knows, says Schneider. But Russia does have the world's fastest growing HIV epidemic. And Russian soldiers, like soldiers in many nations, are likely to be more infected with HIV than civilians. It's the realization of what a sick, desperate, heavily armed military might do that has hard-nosed strategic analysts worried about how dangerous an uncontrolled epidemic could become. In India, in Indonesia, in the Philippines, as well as sub-Saharan Africa, regional stability is also threatened. Consider, for example, Nigeria. Africa's most populous nation, the fourth largest supplier of oil to the United States, Nigeria is considered the anchor of West Africa. It has supplied peacekeeping troops for the United Nations and has helped quell unrest in nearby countries. Colonel Wade Egbewumne coordinates AIDS control in the Nigerian military.
A lot of trained personnel already been lost. In Nigeria, we've lost quite a lot of well-trained generals. You know, and of course, the cost of replacing this is enormous.
So costly that AIDS is now a major part of Nigerian military training.
All commanders at all levels should take HIV/AIDS control as a command responsibility. Because if not taken as a command responsibility, very soon the commanders might not have any troops to command.
Throughout Africa and much of Asia, says U.S. strategic analyst Mark Schneider, the military ranks are already 2 to 5 times as infected with HIV as the civilian population.
The Defense Intelligence Agency has estimated that 10 to 20% of the soldiers in Nigerian and Cote d'Ivoire armies are HIV positive. Angola and the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, 40 to 60%. In Zimbabwe and Malawi, estimates rise as high as 70 to 75%. The preliminary testing by South Africa's National Defense Force suggests that 66 to 70% of troops are HIV positive, with the rate among some units rising as high as 90%. I should also say that the estimates in Nigeria are viewed by many experts within UNAIDS and elsewhere as understated.
As AIDS enters the hardball world of regional and national security, it also changes how almost everyone thinks about global health. A marker of the changed global meaning of AIDS was the variety of players at this year's conference. OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Companies, sent its funding director to the conference for the first time this year. Another new player is the Global Business Coalition, made up of major international corporations that have begun to see their own operations undercut by AIDS, according to Ben Plumley, the coalition's director.
One of our new member companies, Anglo Gold, with a large workforce into the 50, 60,000 range, has major mines in South Africa. It's their economic driver. They now calculate that 30% of their workers are infected with HIV/AIDS, and their projections are that this will have a major impact on their profitability and their productivity. And one of the biggest concerns we get from small to medium enterprises in those countries is that the main source of absenteeism is people going to funerals.
And with new age players come new kinds of protests.
Is the Global Business Council using its bully pulpit to force corporations like Coca-Cola to pay for treatment? No! Unless they use their power, we're going to take it away from them. Unless they use their power for good, they're not going to have any anymore.
Shut them down!
Everybody that is powerful in the world is now engaged in AIDS.
Epidemiologist Andrew Moss has been working on AIDS from the beginning, when it was a disease at the very margins of public awareness. Now, he says, all the players, protesters, politicians, corporations, military strategists, and scientists, have been forced into a new kind of global thinking.
Universities and NGOs and governments and lobbies and political parties, very major political personages are now engaged in AIDS, very major economic personages, Bill Gates, are now engaged in AIDS. Everybody, the entire world is engaged in AIDS. That's what it means to say it's global.
Behind, above, beneath, all around the unfathomable numbers, there seems to be a recognition that as the AIDS epidemic has gone global, it has changed our understanding of globalization. Businesses cannot do business when their workers are dying. Medical schools cannot invent treatments that their patients will never be able to afford. Police forces cannot maintain order when their ranks are riddled by disease. A decade and a half ago, Jonathan Mann, the late director of the Global AIDS Program, forewarned as much when he said at the Stockholm AIDS Conference,
AIDS has shown us that in this world, walls, that ancient reflex, that ancient defense, no longer protect, and that isolation, silence, and exclusion of individuals, groups, or nations leads not to safety, but creates a danger for us all.
More modestly, Dr. Carl Western, who oversees international research at the National Institutes of Health, said simply,
I think it's fair to say that the general medical and research community only just got it. I don't think right this moment that the average person in the street really gets it, but I am optimistic that the rest of the global community is going to get it.
Getting how complex the AIDS epidemic is, getting how deeply disruptive it has proven to families, communities, and even nations, getting how intractably difficult AIDS is to overcome. If there is an underlying theme to this year's AIDS conference, it is that how quickly the wealthy sections of the world get the full meaning of AIDS may well determine how secure they really are. Frank Browning, NPR News, Barcelona.